Hafa Day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Evangelist Will Galkin. It was presented in August of 2003. The title of the message, Laborers in the Harvest.
I wonder if we ever need any encouragement in the area of evangelism. I wonder if we ever need to be reminded about our need to be telling others about Jesus Christ. You see in Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." God is showing us an example of Christ. And we're to be having Christ's example as we reach the lost. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's ask God to do a work in all of our hearts. Father, I pray that you would intervene on our behalf. I pray that our hearts would be quickened about evangelism this morning. I pray that, Father, that if there are folks that we are thinking about that need to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Father, we'd be faithful to tell them about Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I graduated from Bible college in 1995. And following the 3 months after that graduation, my best friend and I loaded up in an airplane. We flew across the Atlantic Ocean, and we went to Zaire, Africa. I was asking God, "God, do you want me in full-time foreign missions?" I can still remember landing in Kinshasa, Zaire, a city of 4 million people. The heat was unbelievable. The humidity was like here at Guam. The smells were unbelievable. The language we could not understand. And here we were in Kinshasa, Zaire, with some great missionaries named the Grings. Well, we were there in the capital city for about 10 days, and then we got into a speedboat, and we went upriver about 5 days to Longa Mission Station. You see, these missionaries, there were four generations of them, and we were with the second generation of the missionaries looking as we were going down the river for the first generation, Bob Grings. Bob Grings had been a missionary all of his life. He was born in Zaire. He had spent 70 plus years there in Zaire. Well, on the third day going upriver, we saw Grandpa Bob. He was in a dugout canoe. A local was with him with a flour sack on a stick waving us over. We took our speedboat and we went right up to the dugout canoe. Grandpa Bob climbed into our boat. As I watched him climb into our boat, I saw his weather-beaten skin. You see, he'd been preaching Jesus Christ up and down this river. He climbed into our boat, and his skin cracked only with a smile when he saw his grandkids. His bent-over back was holding a backpack full of gospel literature, a change of clothes, and some local food. He got down amongst his grandkids and he started telling them how he'd been preaching Jesus Christ. And as I was looking at Grandpa Bob, God began to break my heart. He began to squeeze my soul. And I said, "Oh God, give me a heart for people like Grandpa Bob has a heart for people." You see, Bob Grings was just following the example of Jesus Christ. When we look in this text of scripture, we realize this, that in order for us to have a passion for other people's hearts, in order for us to be diligent about going and reaching the lost with Jesus Christ, we must have Christ's concern about the lost. We see in this text of scripture, the first verse, and Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Where did Jesus Christ go according to this verse? He went to the cities and villages. Why? Because that's where the people were. You see, Jesus Christ's burden was people. Do you realize that even as we are doing the work of the ministry in this church of Harvest Baptist Church, that this church is not about a building? Do you realize it's not about having a nice building with nice carpet and nice pews, but really our ministry is to be to people? Jesus went to the cities and the villages because he was burdened for their souls. Let me ask a question. Are you burdened about other people? Have you got so wrapped up in your life and your job and your circle of friends that once again you are slipping away from going to the people of where they are at? Grandpa Bob was a great example about loving people. We were on a bicycle evangelism trip. We got on our bikes and we drive to village and we get off our bikes and we preach Jesus Christ. We came into a village and my best friend and I got separated from Bob Grings. We went to the end of the village. We're just standing there. We're waiting for Bob Grings. We stood there for about, a half an hour and still no Bob Grings. Finally, we saw him. He was pushing a bicycle and there were about 50 kids all around him. He came up to us and he said, "Guys, I'm sorry I'm late. There was a group of people that wanted to hear about Jesus, so I just had to tell them." You see, Bob Grings was consumed with sharing Jesus Christ. Let's just take inventory of our lives and our obedience to the Great Commission right now. Let me ask you a question. Have you told anyone about Christ this week? Has a tract come out of your hand and a gospel presentation? Did you give a gospel presentation to anyone? Did you take advantage of any of your opportunities? Paul said, "How should they believe on somebody whom they have not heard?" My friends, we must be about telling Jesus Christ to the lost. You see, we see where Jesus went. He went to the cities and the villages, but what did he do? Do you know what he did? He taught in their synagogues, he healed the sick, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom. Why did he teach in the synagogues? Do you realize that wherever there was 10 devout Jewish men, that they would erect a synagogue, a place to come together where the Jewish people would come and then somebody would stand up and read from the Psalter, from the law, from the prophets? In Luke 4, we realize that Jesus Christ came into a synagogue in Nazareth and he stood up. And he read from Isaiah 61, and he said, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the anointed one, I'm the one that's come to fulfill the prophecies. Any of you that are searching, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Any man come unto me, he will then see the Father." My friend, do you realize that there are really people who are searching? Just like these people that would be going to the synagogues and they'd be looking for the coming Messiah, there are people on this island that there is a holy hunger, and for some reason they know that life does not provide enough and they're searching for the answer, and the only answer is Jesus. My friend, we're to be searching and looking for the people who are looking for answers because we are dispensers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to be sharing Christ with those that are needy and those that are hurting. My friend, if you know somebody that's searching, it's time to preach Jesus Christ. But not only did he just go into the synagogues, he healed every manner of sickness. Jesus was going about and he was doing these amazing miracles. How many of you wish you could see Christ do some of those miracles? Would you raise your hand? Me too. Can you imagine watching Christ take his fingers after he spits in the dirt and he claws up some of the earth and he spreads it on the eyes of the blind man? And when it's washed off, the blind man sees, and the first thing he sees is Jesus. Can you imagine the one that's dead for 3 days and Jesus causes them to live, and the first thing they see after death is Jesus? That leper with his spots, Jesus takes them away. Why was Jesus doing these miracles? He was doing these miracles to prove that he was the anointed one. He was the one that was validating. He was validating his life by doing these miracles. He was saying, I am the one that can save you from sin. If I can raise the dead, don't you think I can take away your sin? Let me ask you a question. Does your life validate your message? I think of Grandpa Bob. This girl had rolled into a fire. Her arm was all infected with this sore. It was about a 3/4 inch high, this wound, and it had dirt and infection and hair. She came to Grandpa Bob, and Grandpa Bob washed it all off. He took a bandage that he dipped in a special solution, and he wrapped up this little girl's arm. And I can still remember Grandpa Bob turning to the mother of this little girl, and compassion was just dripping off of his face. He turned to this mother and said, if you'd like me to do this again tomorrow, just come back. Do you think we had any problem preaching Jesus Christ in that village? That night, we set up a light. The village comes out. And I forget whose turn it was to preach, but many, many people heard about Jesus Christ because the acts of kindness of a 70-plus-year-old man. My friend, does your life show Jesus to other people? Maybe it's time to go next door and show an act of kindness to somebody. Take them a meal. Give them a gift. Do an act of kindness or service and then just tell them about Jesus Christ. I just at my home church in Denver, a man, he was calling the pastor, and the pastor finally called him back, and he called him on a cell phone, and this man was up in a tree. This is a Christian man. And my pastor said, what are you doing in the tree? He said, I told some friends that I would trim their tree. And they wouldn't have to pay me. They just have to watch this film about Jesus Christ. My friend, does your life validate your message? But Jesus Christ, he was not just teaching. He wasn't just doing acts of kindness. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What changes people's lives? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, it's not enough just to debate with people. It's not enough just to do acts of kindness. There must be the preaching of Jesus Christ. Do not be afraid to share Jesus with other people. Don't be afraid of what they'll think or what they say. Just tell them about Jesus Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Paul told us that whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be what? Amen. It's the gospel that's the power of God unto salvation. It's the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember in Africa, we came into a village and it was my turn to preach. I'm sitting down and the missionary told me that this was the Batwa Indian tribe. They were pygmies. There was about 15 of the elders all gathered around in a circle underneath a palm tree, and I'm sitting there, and the missionary said, okay, Will, it's your turn to preach. I didn't know what to preach about. So I started in Genesis, and I told them how we were created, and I worked my way through Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, and I started to talk about how Satan came, and Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and sin entered into the world. I went over to Romans 3 and how all had sinned, and we were there for a while. And then we went back to John 3 and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And I was talking for some lengthy time, and finally I got to the end and I said to the missionary, I said, would you just give an invitation? You probably could do it better in their language. And the missionary, he gave an invitation. And the chief, I knew it was the chief because of what he was wearing on his head, the man that had never taken his eyes off me the whole time I was talking through the Bible, he raised his hand and he said to the missionary, I want that Jesus. How come? It's because the gospel of Jesus Christ works. My friend, we live in an age and we live in a culture and we live in people who don't want to hear about Christ, and we get scared to tell them about Christ, but it's not you, it's Jesus. My friend, don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Just preach Jesus Christ. Amen? You see, we see what Jesus Christ did is that he went to the cities and villages, but he did teach and he did heal and he did preach. But not only must we have Jesus Christ's concern, which is people, we must have Christ's compassion. Look at the next verse in verse 36. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. When's the last time you've been moved? When's the last time your heart has really been moved over lost people? It seems to me that the Christian life sometimes can get very heady. You know what I'm saying? It's all in the head. It's all the facts that we know. But when's the last time your heart was moved over the loss? When's the last time a tear came trickling down? When's the last time your heart squeezed? Remember September 11th? 2 weeks after it, we were there in New York City. We were part of a special evangelistic outreach, and we passed out between 300,000 and 400,000 gospel tracts. We're inviting people to come to a special evangelistic activity. As we were passing out all these gospel literature tracts, a group of us got together and we walked as close as you could get to ground zero. We were about two blocks away. The group that I was with, they took out their musical instruments and they began to play on the violin and the guitar, and they're playing Amazing Grace. I remember looking at about 10 or 15 people that were in this little group, and there was one man, he was on the ground kissing the earth. Somebody else was crossing themselves. I went close to this man, and he was about my age, and he had just tears coming down his face. I said, "Did you know anybody?" He said, "Know anybody?" He said, I worked over there in the MetLife building. It was just right by the Twin Towers. He said, "I knew 30 people that are now dead." As I was standing there, my heart was moved. And Jesus Christ was moved with compassion in his heart because he looked out across this group of people and he saw two things. He saw that they had no strength. How many of you have ever seen somebody on the island of Guam who has no spiritual strength? Their every thought is controlled by sin. Their every action is enslaved to a sinful pattern. All we have to do is read the paper or listen to the radio or watch the TV news, and we see the husband and wife, they get into a fight. We hear about somebody committing maybe a murder or somebody stealing or a rape, or we see or hear about sin enslaving people. You ever seen somebody who was a drunk or an alcoholic? You seen anybody addicted to ice or some other type of drug? You ever seen somebody controlled by bitterness? You ever seen somebody so angry they can't see straight? My friend, Jesus Christ looked out and he saw that they had no spiritual strength. They were enslaved to sin. My friend, we need to be moved about those that are controlled by sin. And in our heart, there should be a moving of compassion, because we have the answer. And the answer is Jesus Christ. I remember walking into a hut in Africa. And there was this little boy. His stomach was all bloated. He had scaly skin. His legs were not much bigger than his arms. I can still remember Dan Gring saying, "Unless there's a miracle, this boy's going to die." He was malnutritioned. He had worms. And I can remember looking at this little boy and my heart aching. "Oh God, I don't even know their language. Oh God, what about his soul?" I believe that sometimes we go to somewhere where the outward reflects the inner, because we see the people on the island and they look all good with their nice shirts and their nice clothes and their house and their car. But if you were to look at the heart, you would see spiritual malnutrition and the worms that just are so full of their heart. My friend, look into people's hearts and realize that they have no strength. Don't be clinical about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Jesus came to save sinners. He came to heal hurting people. My friend, Jesus saw these people without strength and his heart was moved. Don't you think our hearts ought to be moved? He saw that they had no strength, but he saw that they had no shepherd. He saw that they had nobody to lead them spiritually. There was the religious leaders, but the religious leaders were just fleecing the flock. The religious leaders were just putting all the weights of other things on them. You see, the Bible tells that they're scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd, nobody to lead them, nobody to heal the sick, nobody to bind up that which is broken. No shepherd. Come with me. We're just in Honolulu Airport, and you see these people. They're coming to all their nice vacation spots. Oh, Honolulu's, it's a great place to go on a vacation. And the people come, the tourists come, and they've got their bags, and they've got all the things they're going to do. But you watch them, and you wonder if they have a shepherd. Come with me, and let's just go, and let's stand downtown, and let's watch 1,000 people walk past us. Think with me, the 150,000 people on this island, how many of them really know Christ? I'm not talking about the ones who are religious or go to a church. How many of them know Jesus Christ? Jesus would have been moved over them. You see, not only must we really see Christ's concern, which is people, and have Christ's compassion, we must obey Christ's command. Look at the last verses. It says, "Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We are to observe a few things. We're to observe the promise. The harvest is much. The harvest is much. Why is it that you've seen people here saved? Because the harvest is much and the gospel works. Why is it I've seen, and my wife and I, as we've traveled in the mainland and we've had meetings in different churches, why is it that we've seen people saved? Because the harvest is much and the gospel works. Why is it that you see a rich doctor come and accept Jesus Christ? Because the gospel works. Why do you see the boy that comes from the poor family who's addicted to marijuana who comes and accepts Jesus Christ? Because the gospel works. And he goes back and he gets his brother, and his brother gets saved because the gospel works. And they go back and they get their mother because the gospel works. My friend, the harvest truly is plenteous. Don't be discouraged. Stir up your heart about the condition of the lost, but rest in the fact that the gospel works. The harvest is much. But why then do we rarely see its power? Because the laborers are few. The laborers are few. We get so distracted. Whoever here gets distracted, would you raise your hand? And we know it in our heart. We know that we're to be telling others about Christ, but the laborers are few. More people to sit around and loiter than people to go out and labor. There's so many distractions. We get fascinated with the method. Oh, I just don't know how to tell people about Jesus Christ. I don't want to do it wrong. My friend, don't worry about doing it wrong. Just tell them what Jesus did in your heart. Amen. Just testify. Tell them your story. You may not be the best speaker. Just take the time to tell them a story. You've told people stories before. Just tell them about the story when you met Jesus. You see, my friend, you may be all concerned about doing it right. Just tell them about Jesus. My friend, don't worry about the method. Just tell your story. It could be that maybe some of us, though, we're just so focused on ourselves. There's a lot of things to do, isn't there? Oh, there's a lot of things to do to live. Got a lot of business to do. Oh, I've got a lot of living. Oh, my family's really busy. I've got a lot of sporting events I've got to go to. Oh, let's go out to eat. I've got a lot to do. I just don't have time for this. My friend, you're just revealing your heart. You just said how selfish you truly are. Jim Elliot, that martyr that went to South America, he said, "A man is no fool to give that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose." Jesus said, "He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." My friend, don't let selfishness keep you from experiencing the power of the gospel in other people's lives. My friend, it could be that you're seeing how lukewarm and how selfish your heart is, and you need to come to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, forgive me. You died for me. Therefore, I want to share you with others." It could be that we're fearful. Can I remind you? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And what time I am afraid, I'll trust in thee. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. What's the worst thing they can do to you? Take your life? I'm sorry. You might have to go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My friend, our fears are so unfounded. Could be But the problem is that the laborers are few because of the selfishness or the slothfulness or the fearfulness or just the uncertainty about the message. But my friend, there is a problem. But you know what God told us? Not are we to observe that the promise is that the harvest is much and the laborers are few. But then he tells us, not only are you to see this, but you are then to pray. Look at verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Pray. He tells us to pray. Why did Jesus tell us to pray? Who's most concerned about the harvest? Is it the laborers or is it the owner of the field? It's the Lord of the harvest. And he tells us to pray because when we pray, there are some prerequisites to prayer that begin to take place in our life. You see, when we pray, there is dependence. When you pray, you're expressing in your heart, God, I can't do this, but you can. God, this is impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. Amen? You see, when we pray, there is a dependent spirit. We're saying, God, I can't, but you can. And God, I've tried all my life, but God, it's time for me to stop trying, and it's time for you to start working. You see, when we pray, God works. The greatest thing that could ever happen to Harvest Baptist Church is that you get burdened about praying for the lost of Guam. You're pouring out your heart and saying, oh, God, please save this soul. But not only is it a heart of dependence, when we pray, there's yieldedness. My friend, when you pray, you express your dependence. But when you pray, you better be yielded because God will speak to your heart about you doing your part. And my friend, I wonder, even this morning, as we end Sunday school, is there somebody specific that God is putting on your heart? Is there somebody that even now you need to declare your dependence and ask God to save their soul and you need to yield saying, God, I'll do my part? Is there somebody specific at your workplace, in your neighborhood that is a relative that you need to be talking to about Jesus? Or it could be it's just a general attitude that you've seen that you've gotten fearful or callous or selfish or slothful and you need to come to Christ and say, oh Jesus, let me share Christ.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Laborers in the Harvest from Evangelist Will Galkin. It was originally presented in August of 2003 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net. hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.